Hey all, incredible discussion today. I have back on the podcast none other than Tucker Goodrich. And if you recall, back in early April 2020, I brought Tucker on because he's a risk manager kind of in Wall Street, and he was in charge of the SARS, the original epidemic, kind of risk management, and he does all the math and the Excels. And he discovered the Italian lockdown came in after the actual curve had peaked. So it had no real impact on the curve. And that was early April 2020. So we've been so busy the last couple of years, but we're back in the seat and we're going to have a discussion on that by all means and so much more. So great to meet you again, Tucker, here anyway.
It's a pleasure, Ivor. Great to see you again.
Yeah, it's super. And just as I mentioned there in the intro, like, it's just surreal to look back. I mean, I've other interviews as well with Professor Beda Stadler, the immunologist, and the Nobel Prize winner, Michael Levitt. And they're all around the summer of 2020, and they were all absolutely prophetic and accurate. But our one was in early April 2020.
Well, you know, speaking of prophetic, I don't think I discussed it with you. I discussed it with Dave Feldman in a podcast that he, I think, has since removed, where part of my spreadsheet was a prediction model. And it didn't have the longer tail, but it mapped that it was already on a curve that would start dropping back down pretty soon. It was just, and then Michael Levitt, of course, who, you know, actually knows how to do maths, unlike myself, who am just a, you know, hobbyist scrabbling around in an Excel spreadsheet, came out and showed that all the same things, at which time I stopped worrying about doing any more of that kind of work. I did the same thing in Sweden and a couple other places just on my own. And it was, you know, it was clear that, you know, I mean, the amazing thing about it to me when I was doing that is that the initial spread was far higher than, for instance, the models, what's his name over in the UK?
Ferguson.
Yeah. It was far higher than Ferguson's model showed. Right. And then it very quickly declined and continued to decline, and something that his model never incorporated. He had this, you know, as I think we discussed, this rookie move of projecting a constant growth rate, which never happens in nature. Right. And anybody on Wall Street, you know, the instant way to know if somebody is blowing smoke up your butt is if they project a constant growth rate, right? There has to be decay. It always decays, right? The Wall Street phrase is no tree grows to heaven. And it was, you know, I mean, it was shocking how pathetic that guy's work was. And it was even more shocking how much impact it had all around the world.
Yeah. But I think it wasn't just him having that impact. The whole system, and we kind of found out afterwards, was primed. And to be honest, I think Dave Feldman, as you mentioned, around April, he took down his videos because I think he heard inside the system this was going to go on for years and anyone talking about it would probably get censored. So the word was actually out. And for Ferguson, he had 5 catastrophic bad modelings prior to COVID.
Right.
And I mean, they were catastrophically out by a factor of hundreds, orders of magnitude. And he precipitated the cull of all the animals in the foot and mouth debacle of the, I think it was the 80s or early 90s. And there's a documentary about that now, came out in 2020. I'll send it to you. Shocking. I didn't realize that had COVID-like fraud in it. But it was Ferguson Imperial College modeling that caused the deaths of millions of animals, mostly unnecessarily. And I think there might have been the early anti-meat agenda was playing out there through the funded kind of people. But Imperial College...
And the SARS and MERS and the swine flu, you know. And I mean, through a lot of that, as you mentioned, I was a risk manager on Wall Street, and one of my responsibilities was business continuity. So, you know, even though I never heard of Ferguson, I knew that the industry of pandemic prediction had a pattern of overhyping these things and then they didn't pan out. And I expected that would prove to be the case in this instance. Obviously, this was thankfully not nearly as severe as Ferguson was projecting in terms of how the mortality rate, but it did indeed spread all around the world and had a huge impact, unlike a lot of the other ones. So, although again, not the impact that he was predicting.
No, but I was just going to finish up there actually with Imperial College. It has taken, I believe, $320 million over the last 8 or 9 years from the kind of Gates Foundation, and they're up to their neck in Chinese kind of correspondence and collusion or cooperation and so much more. So it's obviously a hotbed of the pandemic industry or the kind of biosecurity state or big pharma interests. I mean,
Right.
that's just clear as day, and hence a string over 20 or 30 years of outrageous predictions that were always going to cause societal disruption, industry profiteering, destruction of farming and local independent production. You know, that was the foot and mouth one, and I think there was one more. It's always in the interests of corporate that they come out with these absurd predictions. But
Well,
that's where we are, I think.
not just corporate, because the academics need funding, right? The World Health Organization needs funding, and they do a great job of continuing to scare people. And they're on top of the world. They finally had something that came along and actually did become a pandemic, unlike all the other ones that they've been worried about, and has. To people who aren't paying close attention, it has made them look very valuable. And I'm sure, and I will include folks like Bill Gates in that category of people. And there are a lot of government entities who are very much in favor of having everybody scared to death because it gives them a lot of power. And I mean, I don't know. I realized early on, how much this was just morphing into a political issue, and it had passed the science, right? I mean, when they threw the 100 years of pandemic planning manual out the window right at the beginning, then it was like, okay, clearly you guys aren't actually interested in, doing what works anymore. This is just what's going to benefit you.
And you know, I'll put on the screen, I'll just put in afterwards in editing the summary from Abir. I think Balan in Pandata did a great summary of those, or that massive document, the WHO 2019 updated pandemic guidelines. And some people say, oh, that's for flu. But we know that flu is the same transmission dynamics, the same lack of serial interval. It's in the coronavirus family, practically, not exactly, but they're so
Well,
related,
but
seasonality.
effectively, functionally, it's the same disease transmission, same symptoms. I mean, it's hard to tell them apart, without a test. It might as well be flu.
And the seasonality, because other like rhinoviruses and RSV, they have their own seasons and their own dynamics. But flu and corona, when you look it up, and it's there,
Right.
the seasonality is overlapped completely. That just speaks to how intimately close they are. So the
Right.
pandemic guidelines, 100 pages, again, I'll have it on the screen, the summary of those guidelines, but essentially based on 100 years of Western science, no lockdowns don't make sense, masks don't make sense,
Ineffective.
contact tracing doesn't make sense once it's entered a country to any extent. If that contact tracing only works when you got one guy at the airport and he's in a room and everyone else is in suits, you know, and you may be tracked, did he meet someone else and they haven't yet met someone and we can
Well,
find them maybe?
contract tracing works great for things that are hard to catch, like Ebola, right? I mean, that's very there, it's very effective. It doesn't spread quickly, but if you can, as happened in Connecticut where I was living at the time, some guy walked, it got to Connecticut, they think in part because some guy took a flight from South Africa and went to a party, and there were 200 people in the room. And a whole bunch of them got it because that's how fast. And, at that point, the authorities said it's impossible for us to do contact tracing. And that was right at the very beginning.
I know. But it's like everything in this, and you know, I may have to censor parts of this, or if it's going on YouTube, because things have obviously got insane with censorship. It's like Big Pharma owns all the platforms now. But Yeah, I mean, to that point, from the start, it was clear as day. But I think everything that was done made no sense if you were going by traditional science and immunology 101, as Professor Stadler said. Nothing almost made sense. And everything was shown to be incorrect much later, but too late for the world. But the masks in the middle of the summer in Europe, we knew it was seasonal. It had gone away on its own, clear as crystal. It was June, July. We knew it wouldn't be back until October, November, right? The flu coronavirus season. That was clear. And they suddenly, in the middle of the summer, brought in mandatory masks with prison sentences and fines and draconian forcing, not just, hey, let's wear masks. Like, that's just a pristine example of the insanity that passed as official scientific management.
Well, it wasn't, I wouldn't, it's hard to distinguish from insanity, let me put it that way. But I do think there's a major element of, as one US politician said, n let no crisis go to waste. And there are a lot of folks. It's become very clear in not only in government, but in science, what passes for science and medicine, who are more concerned with power than the well-being of the people whose welfare is in their care. And that was a great example of it. I mean, I heard recently that the number of confirmed coronavirus transmissions outdoors worldwide remains at zero. And yet we had. You know, and here in the United States, the video of the police chasing a surfer around a beach in California, where he was the only guy on the beach because he wasn't allowed to go outside, right? And now we know, well, probably one of the reasons why countries with lockdowns had worse outcomes in some respects is because it's much more transmissible when you're inside a house with other people, right? That's the perfect place. So if you want to, I mean, if you wanted to make transmission, if you want to optimize transmission, that's what you would do, is lock everybody in enclosed spaces together for as long as possible.
And
Except still let them go to the supermarkets where, you know, the masks aren't going to make a difference. I mean, you know, for me, the classic was the US Navy aircraft carrier that was out in the middle of the Pacific and they caught coronavirus. And why did they catch coronavirus? Because they brought groceries. And one of the guys bringing the supplies to the ship was sick and coughed. And one of the guys on the ship caught it. And the next thing you know, oh my goodness. And I mean, if you're going to catch it in the middle of the South Pacific, you know, your only option is literally to starve yourself to avoid catching the disease. It's just, and that's obviously not a great long-term disease prevention
no,
plan.
not ideal. And you know, Tucker, it came up after our discussion in April 2020, but everything just got proved and validated literally within months. So I was quite coy in April, May, and I was allowing for potentially masks could help. My main message was lockdowns are insane. So I even gave masks a pass as an alternative, you know, even though I thought they were junk, and we found out later they were absolute junk. But in Italy, later on, you referred to Italy. I went through the Italian curve, and I might show it on the screen now as well. But you just illustrated in Excel with the rate of growth that it had curled over before the lockdown came in, when you allowed for the lag time before actual death, and said they're bringing in a lockdown after the event, essentially. And we saw that in the UK as well, Professor
They brought
Fenton.
in the lockdown at the exact peak mortality rate. They panicked, right?
Yeah, or
And they were, and
so.
that was just, you know, because of the lag time. That was 2 weeks after the peak rate of transmission, right? So they saw that that was going up. They saw that mortalities were going up. They panicked just as the disease naturally started to go back down again.
Yeah, now certain people would have more of a belief that there was a panic, but the panic was kind of conspired to make happen. And there are a lot of things in the background going on to push this. And, you know, I
Well,
did a
let no
piece the other
crisis go to
day.
waste.
Yeah, but that's a kind of after the event. But Event 201, I did a piece on the other day because the Gates Foundation has just done Event 201 Mark II called Catastrophic Contagion, October the 23rd, 22, just a month or two ago, with a load of African leaders. And they've simulated a 2025 pandemic that actually hits the young and the healthy, you know, woo. And the main message from the whole exercise, it looks like, is we're going to need more censorship and more control of misinformation before this happens. So we're going to need laws in all the countries. So you can see where that's going. But event 201 in November, I think, 2019,
Event 201, just for the listeners who aren't as steeped in this as you are, was effectively a pandemic wargaming exercise.
Yeah.
Right. So they're saying, let's get together, let's play this little game and figure out how we're going to react and what's likely to happen so that we'll be better prepared for it and that we won't panic if a real one comes along.
But the thing is, they simulated out of the blue a coronavirus epidemic that might happen in the next 20, 30, 40 years for whatever reason, but it actually happened a couple of months later. We know from the Italian study that antibodies were in the blood of a cancer study in Italy in October 19. And we pretty much know now somewhere in the summer of 19 in China is where things really began to bubble up. So,
well, that's when the Chinese started running around and panicking themselves, when they were like ordering masks and protective equipment and taking their coronavirus database offline, quote unquote, for maintenance. And it's still back up. It's still not back online yet because it's got all the evidence.
Yeah. And when you just add in that there's massive overwhelming probability that this is gain of function in humanized mice in Wuhan, that it's not from nature. There is no original animal still. And all of the four major features of the virus scream gain of function development. And it's a 30-year-old technology. Some people think, oh, well, that's like space age technology to make a virus. They say they made myxomatosis, right, back in the 50s, and they destroyed all the rabbits. I mean, this is old technology, though that's not the exact same. But back to event 201, yes, you can say a little simulation, but the World Economic Forum in their promotional video said a massive simulation, and they had top leaders from media companies around the world, politicians, top academics. There was around 30 of them around the table in one shot. It was a huge deal, and technically it was run after SARS-CoV-2 had already escaped. And people close to the surveillance systems or politically close to things would even have awareness that it was out. But either way, huge simulation. What were they saying in the simulation, Tucker? What were the main things that would have to happen? And it wasn't not to panic. The main things were control of misinformation, censorship, and basically coercive control on the population to manage this simulated coronavirus. And all the media and private industry would have to work with government like never before. Collusion of corporate and state, right? Mussolini's definition of fascism. All this is what was coming out of their simulation. It wasn't that, hey, we need to chill, guys, and make sure no one panics and say, hey, guys, you know, it's mainly old people. Chill.
Well, but what was interesting is guys like Fauci early on were actually quite practical.
Yeah.
Right. He was saying, you know, I mean, the same things I was thinking originally is that, okay, it's in China. It's unlikely it's going to get out and go around the world. We've been through this before, you know, which was a reasonable, you know, you always project based on past experience. When, you know, I'm just curious why a guy like that was the moment where he flipped when he realized he was likely responsible for it. And, you know, that phone call with the immunologists where they told him it was likely the result of lab experience in Wuhan that he knew he was funding, because, you know, in his organization, he was required to approve every single funding project. And he'd been very involved in this one. I mean, when, you know, I don't know. I don't know that we'll ever get an answer to that, but it's interesting when guys like that. And then, you know, of course, they panicked Trump into blocking flights from China. And then that kind of, you know, the biggest opportunity of his life, and he blew it.
Well, And again, I'm not going to put out a conspiracy theory sounding thing. This is purely my instinct. Early on, I thought, yeah, probably a lab thing because it made no sense otherwise to me. But later I found out from Gabor Doshi and all of the other experts that absolutely it was a lab. But I wondered why, because Whitty, the chief medical officer of the UK, even more than Fauci, came out and said exactly what I was saying officially in a university. And I have the recording. Right. He said it's primarily older people. People under 70 particularly are healthy, you know, really don't have to worry about it. It's very manageable. And he was calm and relaxed. And he actually said it as it was. Now, 2 weeks later, approximately, the same Chris Whitty was standing looking into the camera, looking very nervous and tense, almost with a sheen of perspiration, and talking doom and lockdowns. The transformation took her was too extreme to have been natural. And just as a corporate guy and a lot of shenanigans I've been in, I said to myself, they were a little naive at first. And then the word came through the system about how this thing was going to run from wherever you can choose who is in the most influential positions. But Whitty, to a point, Fauci, as you described, lots of them were talking sense at the start, but there was a volte-face. And the lockdown started and suddenly they were all talking doom and gloom. And Fauci graduated up to wearing three masks. You know, they went nuts, but they
unless
didn't
he went
go
to see
nuts
a baseball
themselves.
Game in a stadium full of people, in which case he didn't bother to.
Yeah, but my point was they didn't themselves at their level and their stature. They did not themselves get nervous. You know, they didn't. It's not even in them. So they got the word. The word went around. The word came down. Whatever way you want to put it, the word was, we're going to lock down. And this thing, I think the World Bank, it was divulged. They said it'll run to 24. And then the corporates, I had people senior in corporate, Tucker, who are basically saying, we're getting the word. We won't be in the office for the next year, possibly longer. The word was out before it even got going. Where did the word come from?
Yeah, who were they getting the word from?
Well, I give you an example that I noticed that made my antennae go up. And it took a couple of months before I knew the whole thing was an absolute fraud. I heard two or three times on the mass media in Ireland, and I think once from a UK one, I heard the same phrase, we won't be going back again to the old normal. And I thought,
yeah, how do you know that now?
And especially the morons that are reporters and journalists nowadays, there's no way they could make that up. They couldn't even dream of it. So that came down multiple outlets and it was fed to reporters. We won't be going back to the old normal. And I thought, hold on a minute. We saw the Diamond Princess, right? It's going to be a severe flu-like problem and it's going to hit mainly the elderly. And I accurately told even my mother, who's got low insulin resistance, who's healthy, it won't touch you either. It'll be the elderly who have immune compromise scenarios. So we knew what it was, right? We knew. And before it got going, and we even had the peaks and all of the drama, they were saying we'll never be going back to the old normal. So that was preordained. That message was there. We are entering a new world. That was there.
Yeah, no, it was amazing how quickly the politicians and the political types were grabbed hold of this thing once they realized, I guess once they realized that this was their opportunity and that their war gaming had finally, you know, and their, you know, they've been prepping for this for a long time.
It's the big one. Here we go, guys. Whoa, the excitement after 20 years of wishing for one.
Right.
There's so many people, and you're right. Everyone was profiteering. Everyone had a potential. They saw the enormous money, trillions that could be soaked out of society.
Pfizer's made, after, of course, initially saying that we're not in this to make money, they've made $100 billion. It's, you know, not only their most profitable drug by like a factor of five, but the most profitable drug probably in history, I think, even more so than statins, which were the champion until 2020.
And they're about as effective as this one, but in terms of really getting
Well,
real-world results.
I would prefer to take a statin than these mRNA vaccines, for
Well,
sure.
it's in the mouth, actually. So I'd much prefer anything in the mouth. Don't say it. That then someone having to inject into my arm. I mean, I don't like that stuff unless I'm utterly convinced of the functionality and effectiveness and usefulness and ethical appropriateness. But anyway, so there you have it, preordained. And oh, just to tie back to what we said on Event 201, we just said how it's amazing and they all jumped on it and everything fell into place. It was all modeled precisely and comprehensively in 201 with all senior media people there, senior political people, and in lockstep with World Economic Forum, which has hundreds of corporations as members,
Right.
and the UN as well, and the foundations, and the Wellcome Trust, and WHO. And when you put it together, all of what I mentioned and much more, you're talking about the top tier influencers of everything. So there's no surprise people went along with it, even if they didn't personally want to profit from a pandemic.
Right.
Everything coming down from all authoritative bodies would have been one screaming message: get under the bed and wait for the vaccine. And that's what we saw.
Right.
That's it.
Regardless of whether or not it actually does
Yeah.
anything.
That's
Unbelievable.
it. Hey, you know, Sweden, and I used to overstate Sweden's importance. Well, I thought at the time I might be over-egging the pudding. But as per Karl Popper, the black swan, the asymmetry of proof, if you have a negative proof, it stands and towers over 1,000 pieces of positive correlations or
Correlation,
evidence
yeah.
that's a hypothesis is true. Sweden single-handedly, clear as day in the data now, has debunked lockdowns and masks because no lockdowns, no masks, and kids up to 16 in school by order of the government. You could not take your kid out of school, even if you wanted to, through the pandemic. And the lowest excess mortality now in
Right.
the OECD countries, the lowest in the world. Can't get around that.
Yeah, but so this gets us back to, I think the trying to find a silver lining, the favor that this has done us is in real time, in front of everybody, all these people tore their masks off, right? If you want to put it that way. They showed us that they don't really care about the science. They don't really care about even practicing medicine, right? Do no harm went out the window. I mean, if you look at a lot of the policies and the effects they've had on children, particularly in the United States, where I live, of course, looking at, they're seeing effects to the brains of children that are equivalent to what you see from child abuse, right? And it basically was a form of child abuse. I mean, any parent who sat there and told their child every day that, oh, if you go outside, you're going to die and you have to wear a mask. And if you get a cold, we're going to lock you in a room until you get better. 3 years ago, that would have been considered prima facie evidence of child abuse. And unfortunately, the entire planet decided to do it. It's but so, and the American Association of Pediatricians, I think it's AAP, I may be getting the acronym wrong, came out in support of this. And all the stuff, just to bring it back to the topics that you and I have both been interested in for a lot longer than this, a lot of the stuff that we were saying that sounded like, frankly, conspiracy theories, the suppression of evidence, the misrepresentation of evidence, all of which is required, for instance, to try and convince people that LDL causes heart disease. They've all done it now in a macro scale, right in front of everybody in real time, where everybody's saying, but wait a minute, you said this last week, and now you've completely changed your story. So I think, in a way, they've done us a favor in that they've killed their credibility amongst a lot of people. Unfortunately, not enough people, but amongst a lot of people.
Yeah, no,
Oh, I've thought about that so much over the last 2 years, Tucker. That exact whole conceit, that whole scenario. A lot more people have woken up to the absurdity, but in percentage terms, especially people who are willing to say it openly, it's tight percentages still. And my main concern is, and I think I can see the behavior of the overlords or elites or whoever you want to call all of these institutions and organizations and UN and all of them who are moving lockstep towards a QR coded central bank digital currency. You know, everything you buy will be visible or in time can be stopped, your purchases, social credit systems, speak ill of the government publicly, maybe you have a problem with your card. All of these specters have moved massively closer post COVID-19. No question about that. No conspiracy theory. They're in our face. And yes, people are waking up, but I think there's almost a rush now from, let's say, the bad guys to seal the deal and get enough
Oh, of
censorship,
course.
enough social or internet safety laws, enough hate speech laws, which are nothing to do with hate speech, of course.
Right.
And get all the infrastructure that when enough people wake up to actually push back, it'll kind of be a bit too late. What do you think?
I don't think you're wrong, unfortunately.
Give me some hope, Bob.
Well, honestly, that's one of the reasons why when, I mean, I remember a conference call that you, Dave Feldman, and I had in the middle of all of that, and Dave and I both kind of made the same calculation, but for somewhat different reasons, that we didn't want to die on this hill. And you, God bless you, continued to fight the good fight. And thankfully, and through a cleverness that I still don't entirely understand, managed not to get yourself banned.
Came
Well done for
close.
that. I know, but you didn't. When I, unfortunately, when it's when I realized it was political, I realized that we've already lost that fight, right? Even back then, that they've got so much, I mean, here in the United States, the Constitution is basically in tatters, and there's not even a often there's not even a pretense of following it. And that started all the way back with Woodrow Wilson, who explicitly said that we needed to get rid of the Constitution because it was an impediment to his idea of good government, right? And 100 years of, Wilson was president, became president, I think, in 2000 or 1908, maybe. 110 years of work, and they've set the stage for doing exactly what you just described, right? I mean, they're, they want to, they would like to get rid of cash because cash they can't control. They've obviously been, it's going to be very interesting. Bitcoin came up as a threat. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens to SBF, whether or not he actually gets, prosecuted or if he manages to skate free. I don't doubt for a second that they're willing to sacrifice one of their own to, further their own interests if that's what's required. But I mean, there have been other guys like John Corzine, who was the CEO of Goldman Sachs and then went on to run a hedge fund and basically did the exact same thing that SBF did. And because he was one of the gang, he didn't get prosecuted, right? They let him go scot-free. So it I wouldn't be totally shocked if the same thing happened with this fellow. Or like Madoff, it may just be too egregious and they're going to say, okay, you blew it. We could have let you get rid of a little one, but you had to do a big one and now we're going to have to take you down. But the side of benefit of that to them is that, the threat of what Bitcoin represented has been seriously undercut in most people's minds, right? The idea of an independent financial system.
There's a win-win. I mean, and we won't get into it, but the whole FTX or that whole thing with him, money was funneled large style into Democrat Party. I think Ukraine
Single
stuff.
biggest contributor to the Democratic Party in this election cycle with stolen money.
Yeah. And also into a couple of trials that were kind of designed to make sure alternative medications didn't look good, like the Ivor one, to take my name. And also general support for the COVID measures and all that nonsense. So, I mean, it was kind of a vehicle with him as the patsy to funnel money into the badness and also damage Bitcoin, of course. I mean, these guys are smart. And will they spare him? To be honest, I think of him as a patsy. So usually they'd look after their own. Yeah. But in his case, they could just say, ah, screw it. You know, price worth paying, let him go down. Because it'll look too bad if he gets off.
Right. Yeah. It's too high profile. I mean, when Corzine did his fraud, it was largely, you know, it wasn't a big systemic thing, like, or billions of dollars like this. It was largely confined to the pages of the financial press and the financial world that I was living in at the time. So they could let that slide, but, you know, I don't know. It's pretty depressing. I mean, onto other topics, my linoleic acid and COVID paper has the blog post that I did, I guess it's not really a paper, but the blog post that I did looking at that relation has gotten some follow-up and turns out absolutely correct that the major cause of COVID mortality is the conversion of linoleic acid into leukotoxin in humans, right? And leukotoxin, one of the side effects of leukotoxin is systemic clotting, right? So you'll read a lot of papers where they're kind of like, well, we don't understand why, you know, people who have COVID have systemic clotting. Well, it's leukotoxin. They've demonstrated it in dogs, right? It causes cardiovascular failure and systemic clotting. They actually did a RCT in COVID patients with trying to supplement them with omega-3 fatty acids to block that pathway. And it had some positive effect. So unfortunately, you know, the time to try and fix things like this isn't when you're in the emergency room with severe disease, right? Because giving you fish oil for a few days is only going to do very little. But I was happy to be vindicated in that regard. Something that, you know, so yeah, when you look around the world at the COVID mortality, it's directly correlated all over the place with obesity and diabetes, all the diseases that are implicated by excess seed oil consumption. And, you know, I mean,
and you know, that's a perfect tie back to our previous world, which, to be honest, I'm getting back to now, and obviously you're back in. Now that COVID has passed at least this phase of the war, but the seed oil, but there's so many ties back. Fasting would have a dramatic improvement on how badly you get hit with COVID when infected. Vitamin D has been shown to be a 14 times, right, risk factor for severe outcomes if you're low on D versus high. And there's three or four studies I featured, 10 to 14 times is the range across all of them. Now, that doesn't mean supplements are going to do magic for you. It's being naturally high. But now,
right. It's back to the same thing. Why don't people go outside anymore? Because they get sunburn and they get skin cancer, and sunburn and skin cancer rates have been skyrocketing, right, in lockstep with seed oil consumption. And that's something where we have clear evidence that's what's causing sunburn and skin cancer is the damage by UV of, you know, these omega-6 fats in the tissue. So yeah, people are low in vitamin D because they're afraid to go outside. Why are they afraid to go outside? Because they're saturated with omega-6 fats. And I mean, you, just as I have heard all the stories of people who go carnivore or low carb and, gee, I don't get sunburn anymore. This is the oddest thing. I mean, I gave up trying to keep track of those a long time ago.
That one is amazing. And I know we've mentioned it before. And I used to be careful not to say it because it sounds like woo. And then I tested it myself empirically, but also Deep Nutrition, I think. Is it Kate? Dr.
Kate Shanahan.
Shanahan. Yeah, she went through the mechanism and I said, wow, so there is science behind this. And then it made sense. But I tested it myself and it's extraordinary. And so many people wrote to me. The estimate was around 3 times as long, approximately, plus or minus, in the same severity of sun before you get the same erythema. It's a 3x or 4x, yeah, that's ballpark.
For me, it's been about 6 times as long. But
yeah, there's a range, yeah, depending.
But it's a huge difference.
Huge difference. And that sunburn is the inflammatory damage that would connect to cancer. And you can reduce it 4 or 5 times. It's just, and it just demonstrates eloquently the very mechanism you say. So we go up from 0.5% or 1% seed oils for all of ancestry. We're up to now 12 to 14% of our calories from seed oils, I think approximately, right, in America.
Right.
The threshold from papers in the 90s with rat carcinogenesis, you're very familiar with, was beyond 3 or 4% of, right, seed oils. It doesn't really get worse for cancer. You're already got a higher carcinogenesis problem. So at 12%, everyone's pretty much in the toilet. They're all getting sunburned. Right. And the industry focuses us on avoiding the sun for the cancer. Meanwhile, right, they're feeding us the poison.
Yeah, that's pretty. And, you know, I mean, what I've started, you know, part of my part of what I've started doing lately, because people keep showing me the same studies. Well, what about this? You know, Darius Mozafarian, the Harvard School of Public Health. And yeah, I know. So I've started going, part of my background on Wall Street was fraud detection, right?
Be busy the last 2.5 years since March 2020.
Well, that, I mean, look, it's not hard to do, right? Mm. I mean, generally, you know, I used to do due diligence on companies like SBF. Okay. I would go into hedge funds, sit down, go through their trades, go through their books. You know, we'd go through their books and records. You know, SBF was his company was a multi-billion dollar company and it had never undergone a financial audit, an independent financial audit, right? He was running his books on QuickBooks. I mean, it was a joke from a due diligence perspective, an absolute joke. So I started going through some of these studies, right? Harvard School of Public Health published a paper, Zhang 2019, where they say up front, the consumption of omega-6 fatty acids correlates with the incidence of type 2 diabetes. But then they adjust it by body weight, okay? Mm. The same authors several years earlier had published a paper where they showed that seed oils caused obesity. The primary cause of obesity was in Mozafarian 2011 was French fried potatoes and potato chips, right? Whereas baked potatoes or boiled potatoes had no effect on obesity, right? What's the difference? Come on, guys. You're the Harvard School of Public Health. The difference between between a boiled potato and a French fry is one ingredient. You can get this right, guys, but they didn't.
No. I mean, well, they're industry people at the end of the day and funded, and there's certain things you just, right, can't find.
So Zhang 2019, to your point, 3 co-authors worked for Unilever. Not even funded by Unilever. They were employees of Unilever. Right. So. And so they took it from a positive correlation by adjusting it first for body weight and then by the other fatty acids in the diet, which are both. And I reached out to a statistician to look at this. And he said, that's just cheating, right? You know, it's in the causal chain. You can't adjust by it. By adjusting by it, you're hiding the relationship. There's your fraud.
That's it.
Right.
And it's done so much. You adjust away the awkward signals and you adjust up the desired signals. And that way you can get a swing from true to false either direction. Right. We've been looking at it for years with all the other crap, statins and sat fat studies, always pretty much fraud.
Yeah. It's pathetic. So I've been focusing on doing that a little bit because I'm just sick of getting the same damn studies thrown at me. Mm. And it's just, you know, it's not hard. You just read them. Oh,
I know.
You say this study says this. Okay, let me read that study. Oh, it doesn't say that. Yes, you're misrepresenting it. That's not good. That's research fraud.
I remember back in 2012, the first lecture I gave to large groups of engineers in my corporate, and I basically explained it to them and I gave them some examples. Of course, they can understand it pretty readily because they're used to data. And I just said, so many abstracts, what they claim is actually not true. It's not true. And when often you have to go into the supplemental tables, that's where I found a lot of gold in nutritional studies. In the supplemental tables where they have a broader range of raw data, you could actually find they're unadjusted and put the lie to their conclusion. But their conclusion was just towards what the funder would desire. It's instinctive. Right. And it's fraud. I mean, it's carefully done that it's not simple outright lying or making up data.
That's where I disagree, because I come from a background on Wall Street where doing what they do would get you taken out of the building in handcuffs.
Yeah. Right? And in engineering, if you were caught in a similar kind of thing because you're hiding a problem, maybe you caused with a new design and you're actually caught bending the data similarly. But I guess in a legalistic sense, in general, in the nutrition world, they know they're not going to get dragged up with a direct...
They know they're not going to get dragged out because, as we now know, thanks to what happened in COVID, the whole industry is corrupt.
Yeah, it's corrupt. The
whole academic industry is, you know, they all fell in line, right? All of immunology, when it was like watching a school of starlings. They turned on a dime. Oh, forget about the science. We are going in this direction now. Okay, guys, good. So virtually none of you have any credibility.
Yeah, but the most, to our earlier point about percentages, most of the public simply just don't realize they have no credibility. And all those starlings are sensing around them. And if everyone's going a certain way, a mass formation, they know they're safe in it. Even if it's wrong, they say, well, it's actually, if I try and be correct, I'll be the one standing out and exposed.
I don't want to be the birdie left in the tree when the eagle comes.
No, I mean, or in our case, it'd be the birdie that left the group and the group would actually turn and eat that birdie or attack it or accuse it of misinformation. That's what happens.
Well, no, I mean, think about it. If you're a viral immunologist in the United States, who's your primary funding source? The guy who approves every single grant himself. It's Anthony Fauci. So are you really going to go against that guy if you want to keep your career?
And it's similar in Europe as well, to be honest. Like the European Medicines Agency and all of them, they're all now utterly corrupt, sadly. I mean, it's shocking. We knew there was massive corruption, but COVID did indeed show us, Tucker, and all the people in our network, how the corruption was beyond anything we would have predicted. In your face fraud, in your face, utter illogic, absurdity shouted at us. Not just saying, hey, look, these drugs have a positive effect and they downplay the negatives and the fraud that you described there. They literally suddenly rose up and told us black was white and white was black to our face, like the masks in the middle of the summer. Absolute absurdities. And they did it with impunity. And they got the laws passed all over Europe within 2 weeks. Every country, masks, lack of a mask could put you in prison. Not covering your face at the direction of the government, like a serf, could put you in prison. And an Irish granny down in the south of Ireland in Cork, she went to prison twice, went to court a few times. She refused, God bless her, because she knew that this was utter nonsense. And on principle, she refused. They kept bringing her up in court and then they had to put her in prison for a few days. She refused to comply. Can you imagine 10% of people behave like that? None of this would have happened.
Yeah.
20, 10, 20, something like that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I moved in the middle of this from Connecticut to Idaho in part because of that. And I remember you know, my wife, we went to this town just west of here, Caldwell, and we went to the town square right in the middle of everything, and we walked out and nobody was wearing a mask, and my wife started crying because she just couldn't believe we were in a
free
state.
You know, right?
It was just unbelievable. And, you know, they passed, you know, Boise, the city I live in, is pretty blue, and they passed all sorts of regulations and most people didn't follow them. And even the governor at one point, it was very funny. The governor said, well, I'm not going to pass a statewide mask requirement if you can't even enforce it here in Boise, you know, where the capital of the state, where the state habits is. It's like, why would I bother? Nobody's going to follow it.
Well, you know,
so, taking that attitude, nope, we're just not going to do it. It works.
It works. Always worked. Always will work. And that's my worry, is they get to a point of laws and structures where that healthy, normal people power of saying no to government, that will begin to be a problem. Like Solzhenitsyn went through this. I saw a quote the other day. Right. I love that quote about
except to your point, now what they're going to do is just turn off your bank cards.
That this is the challenge. But yeah, I mean, Solzhenitsyn's quote from the Gulag Archipelago, this is our history. We have learned this again and again and again. And he said, if the apparatchiks or the agents of the state who are coming to arrest people at night, coming up the stairs in the apartment block, if they thought there might be 5 or 6 people there with hammers or whatever, and that they might not go home that evening, it wouldn't have happened. If people had just stood up in any way, shape, or form in general, Stalin couldn't have done it. It was their compliance and fear. They cowered in their cars, hoping I won't be arrested. But if they all agreed together, we're just going to beat the crap out of the guys when they come, the guys would not come. But once you lose, then you're all locked down. And then you can't just simply stand up. It's shocking. My wife was very, very angry as well about this madness, because she's a traditionalist. She's principled, ethics, all that stuff. And the masks really got to her. The sheer absurdity and the insult, and treated like a slave by idiots who are useful idiots on behalf of ultra rich people who wanted the mask, let's be honest, clear as day, to give a pandemic feel in the middle of the dry summer when the hospitals were empty and the ICUs were empty and there was nothing going on until next winter. They filled the gap and gave everyone a feeling of pandemic. They were also a testing of compliance and stupidity. They pushed it out, pushed the flag up the flagpole with some muscle, some iron in the glove with laws, got all their apparatchiks and all their political idiots to push it really hard. And they knew if people go with this nonsense, this absurdity, we got them.
We can get away with
anything. That was my most depressing day in the summer.
Yeah.
And I realized my fellow human beings are that stupid that they actually covered their faces on demand from useless politicians when it made zero sense. And I said, we're in trouble now. I knew it in the summer of 2020. We're in trouble.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a rant. I'm letting it all out, Tucker, because like bookends and you were there at the start. I've gone through all of this and we've both been busy. And now we're back and you're beginning to release like a balloon. You're releasing out all the last 2.5 years.
Well, I went, my goal, you know, because there were places, even here, there were places where you had to wear a mask, or if I went back east to visit family, I would have to, you know, wear a mask on the plane. So I went to the pharmacy, and as I do in these situations, I went through all the masks on offer, and I found one for $1.99 made by a company in New York with a fine print on the back. And the fine print of this mask being sold in a pharmacy, cloth mask, 3 layers, the fine print said not to be used for the transmission of viral diseases.
Yeah, I know.
Or to prevent the transmission of viral diseases.
Yes.
So that's the mask that I bought and that I wore in places where I had to wear a mask. Because I was like, you know, that was my little FU. Sorry, I shouldn't have done that. us.
Yeah, I know, but then everyone is saying, oh, granny, granny, you don't care about granny. I had people trying to get me off Twitter because I tweeted a photo from Spain. We went to Spain during the madness. We also went to the UK. Hey, and Tucker, we had Ireland and the UK. Ireland had full hardcore lockdown. The UK had next to nothing for long periods, a few times. And the curves were mirrors.
Yeah.
It was so absurd.
Well, the thing is, the masks obviously didn't do anything. So it's not even like, you know, granny. Yeah. I mean,
I know.
When I, you know, at that point, my father was ill and in his 80s. And when I came down with COVID, which I didn't know was COVID at the time because it was so early, you know, I didn't go around him, which was the same thing I would do if I had the flu.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you go to a sick guy who's in his 80s and you're sick with the flu, you might kill him.
Right? Of course.
This is simple. It's, and, you know, nobody needed to tell me that. It was just, that's just common sense. And I think most people have known that. You know, I mean, you don't go visit somebody in the hospital if you're sick. It's not rocket science.
And it's not.
That's all we had done, then we would have been in the same place.
Exact same place. And but unfortunately, so few actually understand that, because Fauci, I am the science, said masks are useless. Truthfully, a month later after emails and there was discovery of these and the Twitter releases, Fauci suddenly decided not only were masks good, but you needed to have one nailed to your face, you know, with iron nails. It was clear as day, fraud and corruption. And it was the same across the West. But in Spain, my son had an idea and he sent me it. He got the mask, the blue mask with a few layers of white inside. I think that's probably similar to the one you had. And he just got a razor and he removed the white from the inside around. Yeah. Now you can't do a little hole or it'll show up through the blue. So you go right to the edges, remove all the white. It still looks blue. You wouldn't notice, but it's completely transparent to breathing.
Right.
But it still looks like you're wearing. So that
I went to one place. I saw some woman who was wearing a lace face mask. Well, and she's wearing a face mask. Cloth is okay. It's just absurd.
The whole thing was insane. I remember Tom Woods, that podcaster, was on his show, and he did a load of really funny surveys where you had to guess the country with the mask mandate versus the one without. And of course, there was no pattern because masks did nothing anywhere, ever. And 40 years of science, too. I went through this back by May. I realized masks were nonsense, did a bit of research on it. And they showed that 40 years of science showed that they couldn't find any signal. And they wanted
masks,
to find one.
Masks don't even protect you in the surgery from the surgeon.
No, that was another. That study was taken down.
I mean, the one use case where everybody was like, okay, well, a doctor should wear it in the surgery. That makes sense. They don't even work there. I mean, it's just insane.
It's so absurd. And there was a dental practice, an article 2016, where a guy had done a kind of an official published letter on masks explaining that and saying even in the surgery, they did studies and it makes no freaking difference. Never mind for other stuff. And they said, it's time to just stop the mask nonsense. This was from a dental professional. I think he was a PhD as well. You know, an authoritative figure, very intelligent article. A few weeks into the mask mandate in the summer, that was taken down. And the dental organization said, this isn't appropriate anymore in the current circumstances. Yeah, you can say that again, because it was true.
Do you have a copy of it?
No. I have a copy. Okay. I can dig it out for you. I downloaded that carefully. I downloaded so many video clips, papers, and other stuff that's now retracted. It's just hard to navigate, Tucker.
I mean, you know, it got to the point where you realize that so much censorship. I do the same thing. Every single web page that I link to and that I link to in my research database, I print out a PDF copy of it.
Excellent. I actually right click and save them on my hard drive as web pages. I know the links within them won't work later. But it has everything in the web page.
Right. Because there's been so many times where that's happened that you just, you know, you start being really paranoid about this stuff. But no, I think, you know, what we learned in the last few years is that, you know, The National Health Service in the UK came out several years ago. This is another study I have scrolled away somewhere. And they said that only 9% of medicine is, quote unquote, evidence-based. 9%.
Yeah. Right? On a good day.
Yeah. And so much of what we're told is nonsense, right? The masks. I mean, you go into, you know, frankly, if I was in a surgery being operated on, I would probably prefer if the surgeon had a mask on too. That's a pretty small thing, even though I now know that it won't make a difference. If he's got the flu, I'm going to catch it. But, you know, it will protect me if he sneezes from going into my incision or whatever.
Or maybe he had a bad.
That's kind of nice. I like that idea.
Yeah. I mean, he could suddenly have a sudden spurt of projectile vomiting even. I mean, right, you never know.
But I mean, but, you know, it's just been shocking how, I mean, the most shocking thing is how willing all of these medical professionals, and you and I both suffered from guys who were trying to take us offline, how many of these medical professionals had absolutely no interest in what the science said, or even what the medicine was supposed to be. And I mean, I see it, you know, the American Diabetes Association just came out with their new, have you looked at those?
No, I haven't really, but
their
I can
new
only imagine.
Standard of care for diabetes. I've never seen anything like it. They tell you it's calories in, calories out, and then they acknowledge that that virtually never works. And then they tell you that you should follow their dietary guidelines. And then they actually go and look for commercial advisory services, because there's, you know, Weight Watchers and things that will tell you how to lose weight. I mean, Weight Watchers doesn't work, but they will tell you something. So they went out and looked in the marketplace to see if there were any commercial advisory services that corresponded to their dietary recommendations. None. Mm. Right. So even if you want to follow their advice, you can't get any help unless, of course, you go to a dietitian. Right. And then what didn't they mention? They finally get around to bariatric surgery. Right. And they talk about how bariatric surgery is effective at curing diabetes. And then they go through all the problems. They misrepresent the risks of bariatric surgery. You got to read the whole thing to believe it. They tell you, oh, it's really safe. And then they go through all the side effects and how all of these things will last for the rest of your life, like postprandial hypoglycemia, right? Because guess what? The cure, postprandial hyperglycemia, is because you know, your gut has now been cut up and doesn't work properly anymore. And if you eat carbohydrates, you get this big insulin signal, but the carbohydrates don't go into your bloodstream. So you get a hypoglycemic crash, which we know is more dangerous than high blood sugar. Low blood sugar is more dangerous than high blood sugar. So the ADA is now recommending a procedure, the expected outcome of which is perpetual hypoglycemia for the rest of your life. And what's the recommendation? Now you should go on a low carb diet. That we've cut most of your stomach out, and now that there's no way you can ever go back to the way you were before, now you should take a low carb diet because you're no longer able to properly process carbohydrates.
And you know, in an elegant little couplet with that, I believe also a few years ago, I recall they were actually giving low carb and fasting to lose weight before you went in for your bariatric surgery.
That's
because
exactly
of a
right.
safety issue. So they'd give them the long term solution, but just to get them prepped for the butchery. I mean, they couldn't make it up. Remember the Wall Street, it was in Rolling Stone, and they talked about Goldman Sachs as a giant vampire squid with its tentacles into everything. Yeah, it was
that
famous.
That was Matt Taibbi. That was the guy who's doing the Twitter files.
Oh, wow, was it? I didn't know that. He was new to me. Excellent. Yep. Well, the problem is that now pharma and all the others, as we've discussed, and I know we need to roll to a close because we both have meetings next, but the vampire squid of that example, well, pharma now has its tentacles so deep. the infrastructure of diabetes associations, Gates Foundations, WHO, UN, Gavi, vaccine alliances. And I could go on and on and on. The whole top strata of interactive transnational bodies and NGOs and organizations across is the ultimate vampire squid. And all kind of the brain of it is kind of the World Economic Forum, but they're just managing the vampire squid's, you know, modus operandi. But it's an enormous infrastructure, and it makes all of our politicians, people complain about the politicians in their country, they're just middle managers. That's like being in Intel and complaining.
Well, especially,
about
the... especially in the EU. I mean, it's a little less so in the United States, but especially in the EU. It's not a problem here, but it's less of a problem.
Yeah, but it's sinister in a different way. It's so intensely corrupt.
It still happens here. It's just it's not like, you know, I mean, there's no, if the UN says jump, a lot of American politicians will say piss off.
Whereas
it seems like in the EU, they're all like, yes, sir.
Except I will draw recent temporal exceptions that America is falling. Canada is utterly the biatch of the EU and all the organizations I mentioned. Biden has bent over backwards for the WHO pandemic treaty, which is a shocking totalitarian horror show where they would have control over countries. And Biden is the puppet now of this new Democratic Party. I don't know who's behind the scenes, but they are selling their sovereignty away like cupcakes. So it's beginning in the US.
Oh, yeah. No, it's been going on for a while. But I mean, there are still politicians here who will say no. I mean, DeSantis in Florida was like, beautiful. You know, the poster child of how to do coronavirus right, you know, along with the Swedes. So, yeah, there are little glimmers of hope here and there. But on that note,
that's a hopeful note. We managed to get one. We'd better stop now. And
yeah, exactly.
End on a hopeful note, unless you have another hopeful note.
No, well, you know, he's at the moment seems to be favored to win the next presidential election here in the United States. So that would be
God, please. Because the U.S. dictates a lot of what happens here, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know,
here's hoping,
fingers crossed,
you know,
it would be a miracle if the one politician in the world who actually listened to Jay Bhattacharya became the president of the United States.
Oh, wow. And Kulldorff and Leavitt, he brought them all in. A real man of science. And you know what? I believe I only found this out after he became a hero of science. I was kind of surprised, and I figured he's a cunning guy. But he's a Navy SEAL originally, and he has an MBA some other higher...
He was an attorney in the Navy SEALs. He never shot anyone. He was an attorney for the Navy SEALs.
Okay, but even to be in that organization and as an attorney, look, his stature I'm talking about.
That's
he's
very
not
much
one
a no-bullshit organization, absolutely.
Yeah, he's not just a rich guy who wanted to become a senator. His daddy was a senator. You know, he's the kind of guy who came from something real. I believe he has a couple of masters, or at least an MBA and some other higher degree.
He's got a JD. He's definitely got a JD, Juris Doctor.
Okay,
so
he's the real deal. He's a real... Oh, we can't say he's a real guy anymore because that's sexist. Anyway, positive note. Let's hope that can happen for 24. He's like Trump in terms of cleaning out the cesspool, if you will, but without all of Trump's issues.
Well, I think he may be a lot more, he has the potential to be a lot more effective because unfortunately Trump fell for the panic, the COVID panic.
And even before that, you know,
Trump had lots of issues, but in my mind and in a lot of people's minds, that was the biggest test that he had. I mean, that is kind of like, you know, if FDR in World War II had said, let's sign a treaty with Hitler.
Yeah.
Right. That's pretty serious. Instead of saying, okay, we have to fight these guys. And FDR, I'm not a fan of. He had plenty of issues, but he did get that stuff right. So Trump
now
blew it.
Just to be completely as fair as possible, is possible behind closed doors. He might have been looking at a situation where they gave him an offer he couldn't refuse, kind of thing. And it may just have been one of those things that he couldn't do a solo run, or he just knew he'd get macerated. I don't know. But that happened in England with Whitty.
He didn't care about that. So,
yeah, he might care if he had to check under his car the next morning.
Yeah.
Anyway. Right. Great stuff, Tucker. And you know what? There was a long gap, but we're going to come back together in a couple of months' time and recheck the situation with totalitarianism growth in our planet.
Oh, God. Thank you, great Ivor. Stuff. It's been great talking to you again.
Absolutely. I missed it. Thanks so much. Bye now.
As always, thanks so much for your support. It's crucially important, more now than ever before, to have investigative analysis and the publishing of factual data and inferences from the scientific world, even if they do go against the narrative. And the legacy media, of course, and corporate media will not cover things that go against advertisers or narratives in general. So really important, and my links are down below to support me. Huge appreciation for those who have done and continue to do so, and anyone who can come on board. And I keep doing my best to get reality out there and counter the challenging environment that we find ourselves in. So thanks so much, guys.